talking about destiny, our destiny. And it's very important if we're going to walk out and fulfill God's will and His purpose, if we're going to glorify God in the fullest extent in this Christian walk, we have to understand that we have a destiny. Let me just turn over there. You know, the teacher and me, I like to review a little bit. And, of course, we got a couple of new people, so we'll review a little bit and hook up. Besides that, as I say, a lot of water's gone under your bridge, as it were, since last Wednesday. And let me remind you, I keep reminding you, not because I think I'm a great teacher or anything, but you can go on our website and you can download and listen to these messages again. So if you miss one, especially if we're doing a series or something, you miss one, you can go on there, you can download it, you can email it to somebody if you know somebody that it might bless, or a particular message really speaks to you, you might want to listen to it again. Man, I've got some messages I've listened to. Oh, man, I've milked them for everything they were worth. Amen. And go back, because God always, some messages, Brother Hagin used to say this, he said, there's those one-time messages, you know, you preach them or teach them one time, that's it. And then he said, there's those that come along, you know, that they're good, man, for a duration. You can listen to them and go back and listen to them and go back and listen to them, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you out of them. So I encourage you to do that. In Ephesians 2, verse 10 was our text last week. Just going to read it briefly here. Says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we said that this word destiny comes from a root word that means to direct, to devise, or set apart for a specific purpose or end. And isn't it wonderful to know that God called us, and in that calling is included a destiny and a purpose that is designed just for you. He has works. He has things for you to do that are specifically tailored for the giftings, for the personality, for the person you are in Christ. And it's so good to know that I have a destiny. I have a purpose. And you know, it's more than just working and paying the bills. You know, praise God. Thank God. I'm glad I have a job. I'm sure you got a job. You're glad for that. And we have to do that. But life is more than that. Because, you know, someday that's going to be over. And as I said, no matter how beautiful that home is you own now, or you may be really blessed and you may own two homes or three homes, but one of these days somebody else is going to own it. But what we do for God, our destiny, and we need to be pursuing God in the light of understanding that God has a specific plan and purpose for my life. And that's what makes life worth living. Man, I'll tell you what. If you ever just get caught up in the grind? I hate to admit it. I've had allowed that to happen to me. Have you ever had that happen to you? I'm always up here confessing, aren't y'all? Do y'all like that, or are y'all tired of that? I don't know. You might think, boy, we need to get a new preacher. He's always confessing. But, you know, I like to be open and transparent. I don't pretend like, you know, boy, I'm telling you what. I'm up here, me and Moses and God and maybe Elijah and the rest of y'all. You know, I'm just like the rest of you. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. But sometimes we can get caught up in the grind. You know what I mean? We just get busy. We're going to work. We're paying the bills. If you got kids, you're taking care of the kids or whatever it is. You know, you're doing the stuff that you got to do. And before you know it, you get into that grind and you think, dear me, this is not fun. I'm not having fun. I'm not enjoying this. And, you know, and I thought, you know, you get yourself, shake yourself a little bit and refocus and remember, hey, this is not all that life's about. And for me at that moment, that's when I start rejoicing. Because I'll tell you what, if that's what all that life was that, I'm telling you what, you know, I'd be ready to just, you know, put my flannel shirt on and my jeans and head up to the hills and just, you know, live as simply as we could. Now, I don't know how Cindy would feel about that because she likes Florida. And I do too. But we have a purpose. God has a destiny. So we talked about it last week, living in the light of that destiny, and we need to understand it. And many times, the pressures, the circumstances of life, they come against us. And, you know, some of it's a result of the fall, you know. I mean, you know, sometimes life happens, and that's about as deep as our explanation can go, isn't it? Yeah. Life happens because, you know, this creation is not running the way that God wanted it to. We understand that. Think about how wonderful it is, and yet it's malfunctioning. I mean, that's kind of how we could put it. It's got a virus. We put it in computer lingo. It's got a really bad virus called sin, even creation. And the Bible says it's creation groans. It's waiting for that thing to be thrown off from it too, so that it can be redeemed back to God's purpose. Amen. You know, even creation, God created the planets, the moon, the sun, the stars, the constellations. They all have a purpose in God. I might do a study on that sometime. Do a teaching on that. We'll talk about how that all of creation, that there's a purpose for it. Even for the stars, even for the sun, even for the moon, even for everything. God had a purpose for that. But anyway, that virus came in, and so everything's not working the way it should. And of course, we know we have an enemy. How many of you know you got an enemy? Amen? I know, you know, it's not real popular nowadays to talk about sin and the devil and hell and things like that. But you know, I can't help it. I'm just old-fashioned in the book. If it's in the book, it's in the book. Amen? And it hasn't changed. And so we have to understand we have an enemy. And through the circumstances of life, through the attacks and pressures of the enemy, he is trying to squeeze us and push us away from and out of the purpose and destiny that we have in God. It began all the way back in Eden, didn't it? There was a perfect setting. You had two people there, Adam and Eve. They were there. They were in the perfect will of God in a perfect setting. Everything was perfect. Yet here comes the enemy. And he tricked them and deceived the woman. And Adam just flat out made a bad choice. Amen? A wrong choice. He wasn't deceived. He just made a wrong choice. He just decided he was going to go the way he went. And so because of that, what? He pushed them out of their destiny. And remember, we said that destiny there, that purpose of God, when he pushed them out, you know, of their place, he pushed them out of their position, he pushed them out of fulfilling what God had called them to do. What did God call them to do? He said, have dominion. Isn't that right? And he said, subdue the earth. So they were to take Eden and multiply it, so to speak, expand it. And they lost their destiny. We talked about Saul. Remember King Saul, how he lost his destiny. He was destined that through the line of Saul, there was a destiny there that the Messiah would come through his line. And yet, because of his disobedience, we looked there in 1 Samuel 13. Because of his disobedience, because he got impatient, because of his fear of people, a number of different things that were at work there, what those things pushed him, didn't have to, but he allowed them to push him out of the perfect will and the destiny that God had for him. As a result, God raised up David. Amen?
Yeah.
But you know, he missed his destiny. And the thing I want us to see is if others miss their destiny, it's possible for us to do it. And so we want to make sure that, and the first thing is this, know you got one.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the thing we're going to be talking about tonight that has to do with this destiny is positioning. Positioning. And you know, just as God created Eden and put Adam and Eve there, he positioned them geographically. He put them in a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. The same thing's true about you and I.
Amen.
Amen. Cindy and I, you know, just speaking for ourselves, we've never moved anywhere because of a job. We've moved because of destiny. We've moved because of where we feel God's directing us here. A lot of times we've gone out, we were like Abraham, we went out not knowing how we were going to pay the bills, not knowing if we're going to, you know, how we were going to do this, that, or the other. But, you know, lo and behold, here's the thing. You know, and I don't mean to sound like we've done it perfectly, but that's always been our intent. And we moved that way, and we've always found that God was there. He was in that place. Because if you get in position, you're going to have provision. Amen? Doesn't mean the enemy won't try you and he won't attack you. But the key is getting into position. Now, positioning is the most important factor in a battle is to be in the right position or the right place. You know, you talk to anybody, you know, where we moved from there in Montgomery at Maxwell Air Force Base, they have the what they call the War College. And, I mean, high-ranking, you know, officers come from all over the world there to study, okay, and learn strategy, you know, modern warfare and strategy and everything. And you know, I know this much, that one of the most important things in strategy has to do with position. And if, you know, if one army can get in a superior position over the other one, then they're going to have a strategic advantage. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, or it might have been 2 Corinthians 2:11, right in there. He said, beware of Satan, he said, because we are not ignorant of his devices. And the devices, and we'll look at some of that in positioning tonight, the enemy has devices, and what is he trying to do? Just like he did with Adam and Eve, he's going to try to do the same things with us. Now, this may help somebody, but, you know, the Bible says, you know, teaches us that Satan and all his kingdom, he's using the same techniques, the same strategies, the same devices that he used all the way back there in Eden. He doesn't have anything new. It's all, you know, this is why, you know, because if he had something new, what, you know, it wouldn't do any good to study about what he has done or the way he did things in times past, because if he had something new, we'd always be getting blindsided. But he's limited. The Bible says that he is limited with his devices and the things he can use and the way he attacks us. And God, through his word and by the Holy Spirit, gives us understanding and insight. Why? Because then what? We have a strategic advantage. Now, here's the thing. If we're not willing to get in the book, if we're not willing to get in our prayer closet, if we're not willing to listen to God and the Holy Spirit and get into the Word, then guess what? He's going to have the advantage. How many of you know the devil's smarter than you are, naturally speaking? In case you didn't know that. I hate to puncture your ego. Yeah. He has a great degree of wisdom and everything. I mean, you know, if nothing else, he's been around a long time. Man, you know, you live for however how many millennia, you probably be amazed how smart you'd be, if you just being around that long. But he has been limited, okay, to what is common. The Bible says what is common to man. So when we look at the people here in the Bible, and we look at our experience that we've had in our walk through of faith in God, then we understand, we begin to understand, this is how the enemy operates. Amen? You know, one of the biggest strategies that he likes to use is he loves to have the body of Christ shoot itself. You know? It's like we come up with this clever idea, you know. We're going to split ourselves right down the middle. We're going to get part of the body over here and part of the body over here. And then we think we got this clever strategy. When the enemy comes by, we're going to shoot at him from both sides. All we're doing is shooting ourselves. Isn't that true? And that's one of the big ways he gets us out of position, is as soon as he gets you out of walking in love. He gets you out of walking in love. He moves you out of positioning there. And all of a sudden, you get into strife, you get into envy, you get into murmuring, you get into complaining. You know, well, I don't need to go on and on. We know all the junk that happens when we get out of love. But there comes what? Division. There could be internal division. Some people, you know, they hate themselves. And so they're constantly dealing with this internal pull and tug within themselves. And listen, you can't walk in victory. You can't walk in God's destiny and plan for your life when you've got that going on the inside of you. That has to get settled. You know, we were talking about this past Sunday about entering into rest. You've got to enter into a position and a place in Christ where there is wholeness in your life. And a big part of that is what? Is accepting the unconditional love of God and then walking out that unconditional love. Amen? Amen. You say, but you don't know how, you know, I missed it. Well, it doesn't matter. God doesn't stop loving you because you missed it. The Bible says he loved you before you even belonged to him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God, and this is one of the positions he's always trying to work on us through circumstance, through people, through different things. He's trying to work on us and get us out of that position of love. So that I start talking about you, and you start talking about him, and he starts talking about her, and then we all talk about the Catholics. Or whatever, you know. You know what I mean. Got y'all to laugh anyway. You know, here's the thing. What is he doing? He's getting us out of position. And then we want to come in and we want to pray, or we want to cast out the devil, or we want to do something for God, but we're out of position. He's outmaneuvered us. He's outpositioned us. You say, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, that'd be like, you know, the guy saying, I'll tell you what, I'll show them, and you pull out the gun and shoot your toe off. I'll show them they can't treat me that way. Because the Bible says, what, we're one body. You know? And I guarantee you, you can't shoot your toe off and make your head like it. Isn't that true? You know, I said this sometimes, I think in the body of Christ, you know, I think we're lacking, some of us are lacking in some proper nerve connections. Because we can just, man, we can just see parts of the body whacked off, and, you know, and some people are even happy about it. Well, they got what they deserved. Well, I hope you're not next. I sure wouldn't want to get what I deserve, would you? Lord of mercy. I mean, you know, you may not have anything to worry about, but some of us, you know, we need God. We need the love of God, don't we? And so this is a big area, and I'm not going to get it because, you know, we start talking about the love of God, we're talking about God himself, and that's not my subject here, but that's one of the big areas where the enemy tries to move us out of position. You know? And you know, isn't it amazing sometimes some of the things he uses, I mean, if you really would just stop for a minute and look at them, some of them are just absolutely silly. It's not nearly worth all the fuss and bother that we're letting it get to us about. So you got criticized. Whoop-de-doo. Big deal. You know, the only reason it hurts so bad might be because your ego. Might not really hurt you. It hurts your ego. And so here we go, and we get out position because we what? We move out of love. All right, I want to move along on that. Turn over to Numbers 9. Because I want to talk about some other things, and I get talking about the love of God, and we can just camp there for a long, long time. That's not exactly where I want to go. Matthew 9. I'm sorry, Numbers 9, 17. I'm looking at my next scripture there. Numbers 9. Just want to read it again, talking about positioning. And you know, the children of Israel, they were absolutely dependent upon God. When they were in the wilderness, they were absolutely dependent on God for everything they did, and even their movements. Let me find verse 17 here. It says, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, you know, of course, the cloud represented the move of God, or the presence of God. Whenever the cloud moved above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. And at his command, they encamped. Boy, if we could, isn't that simple? You know, if we could just get that down. Now, we don't have a cloud to follow, but we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Isn't that right? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons, the daughters, the children of God. And here's the thing. You know, as it were, when the Holy Spirit says move, let's move. When he says camp, let's camp. You know, our problem is we'll get, you know, one of the things that moves us again out of position, our position where God has us, is we get impatient. Thank you. Don't look at me that way. How many of you in here are Americans or American citizens? You've been living here a long time? You're impatient. We've been conditioned that way, haven't we? Come on. I mean, you pull up at the fast food place, man, it's just not fast enough anymore. I mean, you see the internet commercials, forget high speed, now it's beyond high speed. High speed, that's so yesterday, they used to say. Man, forget that, we need, extra super duper high speed. And forget, it being ready in 5 minutes, now we got to have it ready in a minute and a half. I saw something, in 90 seconds you can have lunch ready. I mean, we're conditioned to be impatient. And, when we get into God, how many know God doesn't always move on your timetable? How many know He almost never moves on your timetable? Isn't that right? You know what I'm talking about in things that have to do with the unfolding of His purpose and plan with you? And so here's the thing. We need to learn, again, that we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we should learn to judge outward circumstances for what they are. You should never solely on circumstances judge whether you're in or out of the will of God. Because I'm telling you, if adverse circumstances mean that you're out of the will of God, then I'm telling you, Jesus and Paul just about missed it continually. Because they were criticized, they were persecuted. I mean, Paul was beat up, stoned, shipwrecked, floating around in the ocean for a day and a night. I mean, all kinds of stuff happened to him. And so we got to understand that we cannot discern whether or not we're moving with God, whether we're in the right place with God, except by the Spirit. Except by the Holy Spirit. Because as soon as we start looking solely at circumstance, I understand that circumstance can be an indicator at times, but we cannot let it be the ultimate indicator. That has to be the cloud, the Spirit of God. The cloud is within us. And we need to understand when the Holy Spirit is leading and directing us. The big question that I've heard, the main question I've always heard throughout over a quarter of a century of being in the ministry, people would ask me, the big question most people have is, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I hear the voice of God? And if that's a question you have, number one, I did a teaching series here some time back about hearing the voice of God. So I'd encourage you in depth. You can get that. You can order that series. But here's the thing. It's kind of like this. How did you learn to ride a bicycle? Well, I pulled out the How Do You Ride the Bicycle manual. I've never seen a book on how to ride the bicycle. I don't know if there is one. I mean, maybe there is. You ought to look that up on the internet. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? See if there is such a thing. But I've never seen one. Maybe that's old school, I grew up, the way we learned to swim. Forget the why. We went down to the branch. Chucked you in. Okay. Get it, boy. Old school learning to swim, It was sink or swim, wasn't it? And sometimes, though, in spiritual things, and I know we try to teach people things, but I'm telling you, in some of these things, they have to be caught rather than taught. And here's the thing. Some things spiritually, it's the truth, you will not get until you get desperate enough. You want to learn how to pray? You get desperate enough for God, that you need God to answer a prayer. You need God to come on the scene in your life. You're going to learn how. You get desperate enough that I'm tired of going up blind alleys. I'm tired of taking the wrong turns and ending up in the briar patch. I'm tired of looking at that same rock. I just saw that last year. Here I am by it again. You get tired enough, you begin to say, God, I've got to learn how to be led by your Spirit. I've got to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's like the young man was talking to a businessman. They were out, sitting on the bank fishing, and he asked this guy, of course he was retired now, but he was very, very successful, very well known. The guy, the young guy was just like, oh man, what an opportunity, And so he asked the guy, he said, what does it take? What's the secret to your success? What's it going to take to succeed? And the guy didn't say a word. He just grabbed that young guy and stuck his head right under the water. And man, he just held it there and held it there. And so the kid started flailing around and everything, you know, and trying to beat the guy off. And I mean, man, he was like, man, the guy's going to kill me. He was just getting ready to take in a big lung full of water. And the guy pulled him up and he goes, and he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you wanted that breath, he said, you will. And when we want God in the same way, you know, some people, here's the thing. We found this out over the years. Some people I've tried to help, but I've realized this. I wanted it for them more than they wanted it for themselves. And no matter how much I tried, I did. I prayed. I fasted. I gave it my very best. I couldn't make them get it. You know, sometimes you can temporarily help people and want to do that. But you know, at some point in time, you got to say, hey, I want this. I want God's destiny. I'm not content to be like a piece of driftwood and just drift with the ebb and flow of the currents. I want to be able to move. I want to have life. You know, I say it all the time, but it's true. Any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes one with some life in it to swim against the stream. And there are times when you follow God, you're going to find yourself going against the stream, especially the stream of this world. Isn't that true? The stream of opinion, the stream of reason, the stream of, you know, what everybody thinks. You know, you've left off common sense. Thank God. You know, I'm all for common sense, but there are times when common sense won't get it. Common sense says a man can't be raised from the dead. Isn't that why a lot of people, the skeptics, they laugh at us as Christians, oh, believing in that raised from the dead stuff. Come on. There's no common sense in that. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never been to any resurrections yet. Isn't that right? So common sense will tell you, yeah, somebody can die, but they can't be resurrected. And if we're going to flow in the positioning of God, we're going to have to understand that. Now, listen to this. This little statement I wrote. God, right now, I believe one of the things God is doing in the body is positioning individuals within the body for His purpose. This is both spiritual and it's geographic too. And actually, what you'll find is the spiritual and the geographic are always connected. See, we get the idea. Here again, sometimes, you know, there's wonderful things about every culture. Amen. Cindy and I have had the privilege of living and traveling and being in other cultures. Some of you have too. And some of you are cross-cultural. Isn't that right? You enjoy, you know, what we call the American culture, but you have your own culture too, that your family, or maybe you're from another country. And so each country has good things about their culture, and each country has some things that are not as good. Isn't that true? And you know, here in the United States, one of the things, it's both good, but it can hurt us sometimes in spiritual things and understanding spiritual things, is this personal individual freedom we have. Man, I love it. Don't you? Isn't it great? I decide I want to get up and get in my car and go down the block, I can. If I decide I don't want to, I can. Isn't it great? But you know, what we don't understand sometimes is we're so used to that personal freedom. When it comes to God, we just think, well, God will just do it wherever. He can do it down the block. He can do it over here. It doesn't really matter where I'm at. So we're so used to that freedom. But God says, you know, I've got a place. You know, He didn't tell Adam and Eve. He didn't say, start anywhere you want to. Did He?
No, He didn't.
He said, where did He put them? He said, start here. If you want to live out my destiny, okay, here is where you're going to start. Start from here and then go. Amen? Remember a man called Abraham? Why didn't God just do it right there in Ur? I mean, that was a great, for its day, it was the most advanced culture, the most advanced civilization of its day was there in Egypt. Why didn't He just say, do it there? Instead, He says, no, you come out. You're going to come to a land you hadn't even seen before. And you're going to come from this wonderful, advanced culture. Now you're going to get to live in a tent. Hoorah! Boy, that's promotion, isn't it? That's why I say you can't judge things from externals.
That's right.
But he called them out. And we could talk about any number of other people like that, that your spiritual positioning and your geographical, it connects together. Remember the Apostle Paul? I mean, here's Paul. Remember when Paul first got saved and then he got filled with the Spirit, spoke in other tongues? God called him in the ministry. He was so excited. Remember who he tried to go preach to all the time? The Jews. You remember that? Everywhere he went, he tried to preach to Jews. Do you know what? He never had any success preaching to the Jews. None. Now, he caused a lot of commotion. There was a lot of riots. I mean, do y'all know what I'm talking about? You read in Acts, hadn't you? You know why? He wasn't called to the Jews. You go there and read when God sent Ananias over there to lay hands on him and the scales of his eyes to fall off. He said, tell him I'm sending him to the Gentiles. Yeah. And as soon as Paul finally said, okay, this is not working with the Jews, and he started going to the Gentiles, guess what? He started having what? Success. Fruit, didn't he? Because his calling was also had to do with what? It had to do with the geographical. And we could go on and on. You probably already know many other examples that we could get. Well, that wasn't just for the Bible people. How many know you're Bible people? How many you know we're still living in Bible days? You know? So here's the thing. The same thing's true with us. And if we want to be in the destiny, the purpose, the plan of God, we must get in the right position, both spiritually, and also that's going to lead to us being in the right place geographically. Amen. Amen. God brings people together. God will move people. God will move people from all different backgrounds, and He will bring them together for a corporate, larger purpose. And sometimes we wonder, why doesn't things happen quicker? Well, sometimes some people are not responding. Some people are not listening to the cloud. You know, some people fell asleep over there by the rock and they woke up and everybody's gone. They're like, hey, what happened? Somebody left them a note. The cloud moved while you were sleeping. Come on. And so God is working to position us. And whenever I see that begin to happen, I get excited. When I start seeing, you know, why does God bring in, you know, people into a body and then some others will leave out? You know, we're wanting to get everybody and keep them. You know what I mean? Man, I feel that way. Man, I wish I could just keep all the people over more than 30 years of this walk. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Just all the people that were so precious, that blessed my life, that spoke into my life, that were loyal friends in Christ and all that. You know, that we did great things with, we were in great meetings with, we saw great moves of God. I'd love to just, you know, why can't we just keep them all, you know, just keep adding to them, Lord, but don't send any out. But see, here's the thing. They have a destiny too. And there are times when destiny will intersect. Sometimes for a short period, sometimes for a long period. God will bring people into your life, bring you into other people's lives, and it will intersect. And I'm telling you, when you're aware of it, when you recognize it, when your spiritual eyes and discernment's open, you see that happening, oh, it's a beautiful, wonderful experience and thing to understand, isn't it? And it makes it so much easier to embrace those people, because I know that God, it wasn't by chance. You haven't come across sin in my path by chance. It's God. Amen. I don't care if just met you tonight. It's okay. Still, there's benefit there. There's blessing there. But then there are some people that God brings in our life for longer periods of time. And things take place that wouldn't take place otherwise. And we need to be open and discerning of that and sensitive to the Spirit. You know, you don't need to just go wherever you want to go, whether it's the church or to live somewhere or whatever it is. If we're listening to God, I want to be where God has me to be.
Amen.
And, you know, here's the thing. You know, I found this out, you know, even in full gospel circles, you know, Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, 26 Bible-owning Christians, you know, spiritual people. You know, sometimes we believe in the Bible on paper more than we do in reality. Remember the story of Elijah and Elisha? The incident of the story of Elijah and Elisha, right before he was about to be taken up into heaven? Remember, he said, God's called me to Gilgal. He said, you wait here. And Elijah said, no, as my soul lives, I'm going to stick right with you. Why? He knew his destiny was intersected with Elijah. He said, God's called me down to Jericho. You wait here. Oh, no. Said, you know, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, that's not going to happen. And so everywhere he went, man, Elijah's right there with him. Oh, man, no. You know, why? Because he knew his destiny was hooked up there. And here's the thing. Once you discern the season and the place and the position God has for you, I'm telling you what, I wouldn't leave. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it's, man, nobody's going, oh, but you know, it's, oh boy, things are happening over here. Things are happening over there. And you know, you read this same story and you'll see that there was, you know, it says that they came to one place and there were 50 other prophets besides Elisha, and it says, but and they stood afar off. And you know what? They knew what was going to happen too, but none of them followed. It said they, the King James, it reads, it says they stood afar off. And you know, it's a tragic thing that many Christians are content to stand, you know, as it were, afar off and observe God's plan and purpose being worked out, destiny in other people's lives and God using them and seeing that come together. But somehow they're content to be a spectator. I don't know. I've never been satisfied being a spectator in anything. I want to get in there and do it. Don't you? I mean, I love to watch football and everything, but bless God, I enjoyed playing it. I love to watch, you know, a good tennis match, but let me out on the court. I mean, you know, I want to get involved, and especially when it comes to my walk with God. I want to be in the will of God at all times. I want to fulfill the destiny of God. I want to be in that place of being fruitful, of being used from God. Not from an ego thing, but that's the place of satisfaction. That's the place where we please the heart of God. That's the place where I'm going to see more lives touched by God. Amen? So positioning is so, so important. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, if you would, please. Let's read a scripture over there. I hope this is helping you out. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to talk some about positioning. How God positions us. We already mentioned one of the primary ways. It's what? We have to be led by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Be led by the Spirit. You know? I believe this, that more and more of the body of Christ, believers, more and more people are going to move because of God's destiny than they are because of a career move.
Amen?
Amen? You know, in the career, You know, they look at things when people move for a career move, and you know, you probably heard them say, well, that was a lateral move. That didn't really help them that much. Here's the thing. I don't care if it's vertical, lateral, horizontal, whichever way it is. Praise God. If it's God, I want to be there. Amen? I want to move there. You think about this. John the Baptist, Jesus said he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. He came out of the middle of the desert. Lord of mercy, what in the world is he doing out in the middle of the backside of the desert, man? And it doesn't tell us how long he was there, but he must have been there for some time. Don't you know? You know, here he is. You know, his parents told him about what a supernatural, you know, the incidents that happened. Remember the story? His dad, you know, saw the angel. The angel told his dad, gave him a word of wisdom about John and his ministry and what he was going to do. And then all of a sudden, he's led into the middle of nowhere. How in the world's that going to happen out here? Man, I need to be in Jerusalem. I need to be where it's happening. I need to be on TV. You know, LLTV, get me on. Because I mean, I'm God's man of faith and power for the hour. Yet God had him out on the backside. Yeah. And so, you know, that's why I say we can't judge things just by the circumstance. We have to. How did he know to do that? Well, he must have been, what, impressed, led by the Spirit to do that. Isn't it interesting? Jesus came out of the wilderness for his ministry. Paul came out of the wilderness for his ministry. So if you're in the wilderness, don't feel too bad. 1 Corinthians 12, you found that? I'm sure you have. 18, notice what he says here. He says, but in fact, God has arranged or set the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, who is the one that has set us in this place of destiny? Who is the one who has the predetermined position and plan for us? Now, remember I said that, you remember I was talking about the good things and, you know, and the downsides of every culture? And see, we've got all this personal freedom, which is a wonderful thing. I love it too. It's a great thing. But see, sometimes it can play against us because we think, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, God, can't God move over here as good as he can move over there? Well, yeah, but that's not the point. If God's put you here, I mean, that's like saying, well, couldn't the hand work just as good on the end of my leg as it could, you know, up here on my arm? Well, no. Isn't that right? No. In case you didn't know, the answer is no. Just as God set the natural body in order, and when it's in order, it functions the way it's supposed to be. Same thing's true with you and I. So he set us in the body. We have a destiny. We have a plan. You know, and Paul said, he said, if you find out that you are the hand, he said, don't be trying to covet and be the eye. And that, again, is where we get into trouble. Because we have set up, either in our mind or through religious teaching, that this is better than that. Come on. And that comes back, what, from our natural culture too, isn't it? Guys, let me, I'll talk to the guys here a minute. You get in a room with a bunch of guys, especially people you're just meeting for the first time and all, and after you exchange pleasantries and all, you know, what's two things that's going to come up? First of all, they're going to want to know what? Well, what do you do for a living? Isn't that right, guys? Am I telling the truth? What do you do for a living? You know, and then based on what you tell them, then, you know, here comes the pecking order. Isn't that right? Come on. You know, and if they get to know you well enough, they might say, well, how much you make? Then, boy, you really get into the pecking order. Isn't that true? And we bring that over into the body of Christ, and we say, okay, now this is way up here, but now that is way down there. And so, you know, if I'm the toe, I want to be the head or the eye or the ear. And Paul went on, he said, if the whole body were an ear, wouldn't you be a funny looking thing? You couldn't go nowhere. You couldn't feel anything. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't eat. I don't know if that'd be all that wonderful to have a body that was just one big ear. Or one big eye. Or one big nose. No, every part of it's important, isn't it? And we understand that. I want to bring this out because, see, he's positioning. It says God sets us in the body as it pleases him, not you or me. So if God says, pack up your duds and get over to Walla Walla, Washington, you better pack up your duds and get over there, wherever that is. Somewhere in Washington. Or wherever. Or Slap Out, Alabama. Y'all know, you ever heard of Slap Out? You hadn't heard from Slap. You just hadn't been around much. Have you? I'm kidding her because she's from Alabama too. You know, I used to say Slap Out, you know, it's Slap Out of the country and plumb nearly out of the world. It's a little old crossroad somewhere. I mean, man, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. But, you know, what was it? Cindy and I went to preach in a church. It was somewhere in that general area. And the address was, I forget the number, but the name of the street was Flea Hop. Flea Hop. I'm serious. I first saw that. They gave me that address. I thought it was a friend of mine. I thought he was kidding me. It's Flea Hop. Remember that? Flea Hop. Lord of mercy. God's going to send me to flea hop? I'm going to flea hop? That don't even sound good. Flea hop? Well, they got hopping fleas there? What is that place? You know, and they didn't they say that about Jesus? Man, nothing good's going to come out of Nazareth. You know, Jesus was born in the stable. Why wasn't he born in the, you know, in the castle or something? I mean, we look at all the circumstance and we can miss God big time. But God has a plan and a purpose. And, you know, it's amazing. God is dealing with all of us in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, moving, positioning us, getting us ready. You know, because God already knows what he wants to do here in South Florida. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not here by accident. Well, I was just born here. I've lived here all my life. Well, listen, you could have been born in the Middle Ages. Sure you could have. Listen, yeah, you could have been born on Flea Hop. Right next to Grasshopper Alley. You know, or wherever. You know, why did it, you know? Why am I here? Why am I in this hour, this generation? You could have been some other time, some other place, some other country. So here's the thing. You know, I'm not trying to say, you know, we get super deep in this thing, but we need to understand there is a plan and a purpose God has. There is a destiny, and positioning is part of that. Not only spiritually, we understand that, you know. I mean, if you're bitter, if you've got unforgiveness, if you've got strife, if you're full of fear and competitiveness and pride, well, spiritually, you're not in a place where God can begin to unfold his destiny. But I want to tell you what, geographically, it is true, too. So many times, God gets us, what, works on us on the inside, and then he begins to, what, position us on the outside. Because, you know, some people are in such a spiritual state, if God said, go to Flea Hop, there ain't no way they're going. I ain't going to Flea Hop. No way. I mean, you know, many a time, God's directed Cindy and I, and we were just, I mean, do you understand the statement, happy as clams? I don't know where we got that from. I've heard all my life. I don't know that a clam is happy or not. But, you know, I mean, everything is wonderful. As far as we were concerned, hallelujah. We just be here till Jesus comes, or we go on and be with the Lord. We're just happy. We're blessed. I mean, we, you know, got stuff everywhere. You know what I mean? It's just great. Everything's good. Everything's good. God says, okay, now, chuck all that. We're going over here. Say what? Wait a minute. Get thee behind me, devil. Especially when you know God sent you to the place you're at right then. You know, sometimes we are like that prophet. Okay? God's called me to Gilgal. Then we get, you know, we get all good and settled. And by the time we get comfortable, God's called me to Jericho. And this is why I say sometimes we believe in things on paper, being led by the Spirit. But as soon as we start, you know, some of us start actually living that out, people say, well, you're unstable. You're irresponsible. Come on. Oh, yeah. And that's just what the Christians are saying. Forget what your unsaved family is saying. Isn't that right? Some of y'all laughing. You know what I'm talking about. You know? I mean, a time or two, I've thought myself I might be a bit touched, you know? So, Lordy, God, we just got everything just right. Don't tell me the cloud's moving. I just planted a vineyard. I was about to get them grapes. God said, pack it up. Yeah, but God, I can't bring this with me. Leave it. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. Some of y'all out there, oh, God, don't tell me to do that. So what I'm saying is what God is wanting to position us. Now, don't go run off and just do something, you know, willy-nilly. You know, I've seen people like that. I've seen the flakes and the nuts, too. You know, people are flaky. They're not under any kind of authority. You know, they're just, you know, they're, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you can get the extreme that way. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about us being just flaky and we're just, you know. But I want to tell you what, we need to be open to the fact and understand that God will deal with us in these ways at times. And it doesn't matter if you were born here and you live all your life here. If that's God's destiny, don't let it become commonplace to you. You say, bless God, God planted me here, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to be fruitful. God's got a plan and a destiny for me. If I've lived here all my life, or if I just got here, or if God told me to go here, or if I've lived here all my life, I'm wide open. If God wants, got a part of His plan and purpose for me is to go over here and do this or do that, bless God, I'm going to be ready to do it. Amen? Not flaky, not weird. You know, and most of those time, the people that God will speak to do that will be the mature, stable, under authority. They, you know, they're not quick to just jump up and do any kind of thing. You know, those will be the people that are ready for God to speak to. And then they can go out. And you know, the rest of us, we should rejoice and bless. Amen? You know, like I say, I'm the kind of, I'd like to just keep everybody. You know, but not everybody is going to go on the same journey that Cindy and I are going to go on for, you know, for all your life. It sure be great, you know, because we have some people that are very precious and dear to us over the years, and I miss them sometimes, and I'm sure you the same way. Turn to, real quickly, I got just a few more minutes here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, just as God has a plan for us, how many know the devil has one too? And you know, we've heard it quoted many times, you know, where God's speaking. He was actually speaking to the exiles, Egypt. They were in Babylon, but it can apply to us too, spiritually. God said, I know the plans I have for you. We've heard that quoted, Jeremiah 29. I mean, He was speaking to the Jewish people, and they had been taken out of their homes. Their homes had been leveled. They'd lost loved ones. And, you know, and they're taken over into a strange land. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Boy, they sure didn't look like much of a future there, did it? And so we know this. God says His plans are what? Good plans. Good plans. God has His destiny is a good thing. You know, I can say this about, like David said, the psalmist said, and I can say this, for the plan and the destiny for Cindy and I, and that is this, you know, the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Been good. You say, oh, you've never had a problem in that. Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, when I look at the whole thing of belonging to God and walking out His plan and walking out His purposes, I'm telling you, it's been exciting, it's been thrilling, it's been challenging, it's been vibrant, and I can say it's been a blessing, and I can say this, the lines have truly fallen to us in pleasant places. And you know what? If we're walking out God's plan, when we look over the landscape, again, don't misunderstand me. Have we had challenges? Yes. Have we had attacks? Yes. Have we had fears without and fears within? Yes. As Paul said, we've been in all those things. Have we ever had needs? Yes. But in all of those things, I can look at the landscape of our life and following God's plan the best way we knew how, we can say that. And you know what? You should be able to say that too. That the lines have fallen to me, you know, in pleasant places. It's been good. But the enemy also, he has a plan. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, let's read this. We'll back up to verse 10. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Now, verse 11 here. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. That word scheme there in the Greek, N-O-E-M-A, means to consider, to think, to devise, and to formulate a plan. And of course, the enemy is doing that what? Against, to position you and move you out of the position of God's perfect will. God's got a plan, the enemy's got a plan. Yeah. Amen? And it's amazing. God will set you in a place, and the enemy will bring along circumstance and people and do his best to just convince you that this couldn't possibly be where God wants you, because if it was, you know, you wouldn't be having to put up with all this mess. And see, if we are ignorant, like he said, we're not ignorant. If we're ignorant of his devices, if we're ignorant of his ways, of his schemings, of his devices, then we will look at that and say, well, wait a minute. If I was in the will of God, then, you know, all this wouldn't happen, or this wouldn't happen, or that wouldn't happen, or everybody would like me. You better get over that thought. Amen? You know, I'm not old yet, but I've been around long enough now. I finally stumbled on this clear understanding. Not everybody's going to like me. What do you say amen for? Shazam. You know, and there's a second verse with that. Not everybody's going to like you either. And isn't that amazing? Because, I mean, you think about how wonderful a person you and I are. Don't you think you're a pretty nice person? I think I'm pretty nice. You pretty nice? Yeah. I agree with you. You know, why doesn't everybody? You know, that's just the way it is. But the enemy will bring circumstance to bear against us. He'll bring people along. And he's doing his best. While God's working a plan, he's trying to work his devices. This is why we have got to be discerning by the help of the Holy Spirit. We've got to understand that when the enemy comes in, you know, and you know, a lot of times I've seen, and I knew God brought people into fellowship with the body. But, there was maybe a conflict or something happened with somebody else in that body, and they took off and left. And you thought, oh, bless their heart. And, you know, here's the thing. I know that's going to happen to them again. You know why? Because the enemy knows, found something that works. I found something that works here. Just as soon as they get into a place where it looks like they're moving in closer into God's destiny and purpose for their life, all I got to do is send somebody by, you know, to offend them a little bit or hurt their feelings a little bit. They're gone. That's easy. Listen, let's stop making it too easy for the devil. Man, I'm telling you, you know, God told the prophets in the Old Testament, now I got to stop with this, but he told them, he said, when I send you to Israel, he said, I'm going to make your forehead is going to be like flint. You know, flint is one of the hardest natural rocks there is. You know, we use it to spark things with. You know, it's hard. And I want to tell you what, we want to have what? Tender hearts, but we need to have a head like flint when it comes to staying in the will of God. Because God knew when he sent those prophets there, they were not going to be popular. Amen? They were not going to be popular. And so he sent them there. And here's the thing we have to understand. The enemy, when God sends us to a place, whether it's a geographic or whether it's to a particular fellowship or body or whatever it may be, and connects us up with that body, that time, we got to understand this. The enemy is also going to be trying to work his plan. He's going to try to push us out. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you offended. You know, this is why Jesus said, blessed is the person who is not offended. And the reason you're going to be blessed is because you're not going to move out of the will of God. Amen? Well, I didn't get near as far as I thought I would. I wanted to tonight. We're going to talk some more about it. But you know, as practical as this is, we've got to learn these lessons. We've got to learn these lessons. If we, and of course this applies to us, I'm talking on the individual level, but it applies to us corporately. Amen? If God sent you here, bless God, you can't go till he tells you you can. Yeah, but I don't like the pastor. What's that got to do with it? Well, I don't like the deacons. What's that got to do with it? Well, I don't like Sister So-and-so. What's that got to do with it? God didn't say, I'm going to send you to a place where you're going to like everybody. And everybody's just going, you're just going to get along with them so good. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you got to learn to walk in love? Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Amen? Amen? Come on. Mm-hmm. And see, that again goes back to what I said. See, we're so used to in the natural, our personal freedom. If we don't like a bank, bless God, I'll get another. Mm-hmm. If I don't like the lawn service, I'll get another. If I don't like the plumber, bless God, I'll get another one. We come to a place where God sends us to a fellowship or a church or a location or something, or a ministry. Bless God, I don't like this. I'll just go get another one. But see, then you move into dangerous territory. Okay? We're going to talk about how the enemy tries to position us next time, next Wednesday. And we will be having service here because for the summer we won't be having our prayer groups. We're going to take a hiatus. So next Wednesday we will be here teaching. We're going to talk about how the enemy, what the enemy, the devices. He said we're not ignorant of his devices, the devices the enemy tries to use to get us positioned out of the will of God. And then we're going to talk about, we've talked about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about other things biblically, how God uses those things to position us. Okay? So I'd encourage you, you know, if you're interested in ensuring that you continue or you get into the plan and the purpose of God, this next lesson will benefit you and help you. Amen? All right. Anybody that would like to give tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. The ushers are going to come if you want an envelope or something.